All right, it's episode 33. Welcome back, folks. It's Michael Walsh, you know me, the guy that hosts the show. But I have to say it every time. That's what the introduction is. I'm really excited about today's episode. I had a great conversation with comedian Petey Diabreu. Super funny guy, pretty crazy life story, and I really enjoyed myself. I hope you guys enjoy listening to it. That's about all the further introduction I'm going to give this one. This is episode 33 of I'll Grieve You With This with Petey Diabreu. Well, today's guest is Petey Diabreu. Thanks for coming on the program, man.
Thanks for having me, my dude.
Yeah, I appreciate it. My last few guests have been people that I've met kind of recently. You and I were not like tight by any means, but I think I met you in like 2015, maybe 2016. Probably at the Creek in the Cave, something like that. But yeah. Apart from, you know, seeing you at shows, I'm always happy to see you. I'm glad we bumped into each other. But just for the sake of my listeners at home, you want to tell us, like, you know, where you're from, where you started comedy, all that type of stuff.
I'm from the Bronx. I started comedy. I didn't start in New York. I started in Miami. Actually, I was living in Miami for about 8 years. And like most of my 20s, I didn't live in New York most of my 20s. But then when I started doing comedy, 29 going on 30, I moved back to New York. But I started in Miami for about maybe like 3 or 4 months. And then I visited New York to see, you know what I'm saying? Because I was Googling and I'm researching comedy, and they were like, yo, New York is the mecca of comedy. So then I'm like, I'm from New York, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. So like, I'm like, my mama lived there, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, boom, I go back, ask my mom if I could visit. I had saved up some money, came for like a month, just did like a million mics. And then I just was like, nah, I got to live here. I got to move back.
Sure.
And I moved in with my mom. At 30.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I left my crib at like 18. Like, left.
What were you doing in Florida?
Like 18, 19. Mostly crime. And then towards the end, I was down with this like this scam where we would like defraud this huge tech company from like merchandise, and then would like, you know, sometimes people go, what did you get busted for? I'm like, you ever just borrow something and then sell it?
Yeah.
I like that. You know
I mean? So was your move from Florida maybe motivated by things other than just comedy?
No. It was, actually,
I got to get out of this town pretty quick.
So I have this one man show that I do. I started doing it in 2022. It's called Before Comedy, After Crime. And I basically, it's about like what I did right before comedy, which was, I worked at a sneaker store right before comedy, but before the sneaker store, I was like fucking just doing the scam for years.
Nice.
But the reason I came, so I visited my mom, got arrested. As I was about to go back to Miami, I get arrested from the stuff that I was doing in my 20s. Like, the feds came and got me.
Oh, wow. So you had a paper trail.
But then it was like, you could await sentencing, and you can await sentencing or go to trial in Florida or New York. So I was like, shit, I'm going to do it in New York since I can still do comedy or whatever. So I just, yeah, all that's right. Another thing people don't know. Like, my first, like, even, yeah, when I met you, I was on probation, but I never spoke about it because I was still kind of going through the shit.
Yeah, for sure. How long were you in there?
I was only in it for a minute. My mom and my sister put their house up to get me out. And wow. then once I got sentenced to 5 years probation and like 200 something community service hours and like a restitution of like $500,000.
Yeah, that's wild. Shout out to mom and your sister.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, good for them.
I don't know if I would have put my house up for this. Like, that's like, my, yeah, that's and then my sister's got kids and stuff. So it's like, yo, you're basically banking on somebody not fucking up.
Sure. Well, you're doing all right so far. Seems like it. All right.
That shit actually helped. I think in my life it helped me.
Sure. Not fuck up. You gotta be who you are, you know? Well, shit. coming from that background, you probably don't have a shortage of like, you know, people that you've lost. And like I said, I usually leave it up to the interviewee, but I know you're part of the Dead Dad Club, if I'm not mistaken, right? Do you want to tell me what your dad was like?
My dad, he was fucking loud, dude. he's from Guyana in South America.
Sure.
But it's like a West Indian country in
That's Jim Jones.
It's weird, yeah. The Kool-Aid guy.
Not the one from your area.
Nah, not Dipset. The other not Jim Dipset, Jones. Jim Jones. Yeah, yeah. This dude had Kool-Aid. The other guy has, you know, jewelry.
Right.
So my dad, loud dude from Guyana. I don't remember when he came to America, but he definitely came here in this like probably like the mid to early 70s. Yeah, he was like one of those old school dads, like just like never f- like I don't want to say not fun, but like was always serious and like tough, and like you didn't see no weakness, and just like always yelling. You know what I mean?
Sure. You're
scared it kind of sounds the like shit that. Of him. You know
That's
what I mean? Like
the immigrant parent situation usually is.
And then it's so crazy to think like, yo, I don't have any kids, but I couldn't imagine like wanting my kid to be scared of me. Like I would want my kid to like be cool and talk and be open with me. Right. Like, nah, I want this kid to fucking be shook of me. You know what I'm saying?
I walk my kid in the to room. Be an employee.
Yeah.
For no reason.
That was my pops, yo. But like,
and he was like that forever. Were you guys close?
We were, but then he bounced. My pops left when I was like around eight. Oh. Maybe like around eight. And okay. I didn't see or talk to him for like years until like I was maybe like around maybe like 13, 14 when I was like eighth grade going into high school.
Yeah, that's a big gap.
Yeah, man. It was crazy.
So meeting him, you're probably kind of angry about that shit, right?
Oh yeah, I held that shit against him forever, dude. Even till when he died, like we were estranged when he passed away.
Okay, yeah, that's a whole different type of grief.
Yeah, yeah,
but so yeah,
he
wasn't the best dude then, as far as sticking around.
Nah. You know what makes it crazy? I think for me, like if I'm assessing my life and my perspective towards him. When you become like when you start becoming a man and you get older and you're like, and this is like me in my like 20s probably, or maybe even like 18, 19, like being like feeling like a man and being like, or making money and like being like looking out for people or whatever. It's just like you start thinking about like, damn, he couldn't have pulled this off. Like, you know,
right.
It's like, damn, he couldn't have just like, you know what I mean? Like you. It's just, I don't know. It's weird. But yeah.
You're like, I could have done this and I'm not even trying.
Well, I can't say because like I'm just saying like as far as like being a man, like being what a man, I think, or not even just a man, but like a human, but definitely like an adult man, responsible, respectable person. It's like you take care of what you got to take care of. You know what I mean? You don't fucking run. You don't be a bitch. You got to be A1. So it's like when I'm living my life, teaching myself this shit, that's the other part. It's like, dude, I taught myself all this shit or how to be and all this stuff. And like the path I want to choose, like, I don't want to be a piece of shit. I don't want to be somebody that people think is like irresponsible and a sucker. Like, I want to be like, yo, this guy's a good
you
guy.
Were like, I had to raise myself on, you know, at least on one side of it. Right.
That's- yeah. Yeah. Because there's certain things your mom can't teach you. There's certain shit your mom can't really help you out with. So for me, it was like I was just in the streets with the bros, people that didn't give a fuck about me, but it felt like they did, or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. So when you re-met him at 14, you guys come to blows, or were you just like, what's up, dude?
Nah, he came back in because my mom's kicked me out when I was like maybe like 15. So when I was acting up, like around 14, this is like I'm in high school, freshman year. He came back into the scene, but it was more of like my mom calls him on some enforcer shit. Like, yo, this kid's getting too big. I can't control him anymore. He's coming in at like 2, 3 in the morning. You know what I mean? I'm like 14 years old, hanging out with just old dudes, drinking beer, smoking weed type shit.
Right.
And I remember one night. one of the nights I think like he came back into my life, I was like, he came, I don't know how he found me. I was telling my sister this story over the holidays. I used to hang out in this park called, well, it was not a park. It was just like by Bronx Boulevard, like Bronx River type of park. And just mad late, maybe like 11, 12. And I just see this car pull up. So there's a park, but there's like a little area that separates the park from the streets and the cars and stuff. And it's like a one way. Car pulls up, like, yo, get your ass over here, boy. And I look and I'm like, yo, it's my pops. I ain't seen my pops in mad long. So, yo, I'm on my bike at the time. I'm on my like bicycle. I fucking start riding the opposite way. Cause it's a one way, like where he's parked, where his car is a one way. So I just start riding the opposite way
Like,
on
get
my
away from
bike.
me.
Yeah. And then I'm like, yo, make a beeline to the crib. And then I don't know why. Well, I waited for a minute because I'm like, damn, he's probably gonna go back to the crib because he thinks that's where I'm gonna go. And I'm like, fuck. So I go back to the crib. He's there. He like fucks me up in the street, dude. This is like at like 1 in the morning. And like there's like a store, like a bodega store next to my crib with like the awning and like the not the gates and shit were down. He's like throwing me on that shit. And then like, yo, the fucking like you gotta imagine, this is like the middle of the night. It's quiet on the block. Like there's nothing happening. Nobody's not
Right.
really much action. So then like just to hear like this dude yelling and just like the fucking gates like boom, boom. And then I fucking slip, get in the crib, lock myself in the bathroom, dude. And then
Wow.
that was like the interaction. And then after that, I lived with him. So my mom kicked me out. She did me dirty because my sister was going to school in Atlanta at the time. And my mom's like, yo, I can't leave you at the crib. So we all gonna drive your sister down to Atlanta. She's going to school. We get down there. I have a homie that's in Atlanta at the time. I'm 14. But I always hung out with older dudes. So I got a friend that's like just starting in college and he's like at a dorm and shit. And he's like,
Sure.
yo, come through and we're just smoking weed. So when my sister's doing all the school shit, admin shit, I'm chilling. And then I remember calling my mom, like, yo, all right, what's the deal? What time are you guys coming to pick me up? She's like, oh yeah. You live there now. I was like, what? Yo. She's like, you're not coming back right now. You're not coming back. And I'm like, what? So then I'm just in Atlanta. And then, but then, so
Where
my
he lived?
dad,
So your dad lived there.
yeah, so he
Okay.
just moved there. And
Yeah.
then, my sister was staying with him. So
So
then
you
I
like had
ended
a
up having this.
suitcase. They're like, by the way, this
I didn't
is.
have no suitcase. I didn't have shit.
Well, I'm saying like you didn't have like, not like you moved your stuff. You're like, oh, by the way, you live here now.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I was just like that. I didn't have no choice. Yo, you live in Atlanta now.
that's crazy.
And then I was already not going to school. So that was the other part. Like, yo, my dad was like one of those guys. Like, by the time he came back around, I'm still a fucking kid, dude. 14, 13 years old. I'm a kid, but he's like treating me like I'm a fucking man, dude. He's like, yo.
Right.
He like, yo, you don't want to go to school? Fine, stay at the cribs. Because
What did he
I
do?
wasn't going to school. Like, my mom kicked me out because I wasn't going to school. I was just fucking hanging out, being a knucklehead. And then my dad was like, yo, you don't want to go to school? All right, cool. Don't go to school until you're old enough to work, and then you should get a job. But like, I remember like being at his crib because my sister's going to school, his wife's going to work, her daughter's going to school. Everybody's out of the crib but me. And then
Right.
like I remember like in the morning like seeing kids go to school and shit and be like, damn, I want to go to school now.
Yeah.
And I'm just locked up in this fucking crib. So it was like, you know, for a while. And then my mom was like, yo, you can come back if you go to fucking Job Corps or some shit. And then I did that. Got kicked out of that shit. Then my mom got me into another one. Then I got locked up for the first time. And then I came back and then I started working with my dad after that shit for like a little bit.
What'd he do? How'd he make money?
Telecommunication work.
Okay.
But like, you know, like those telecommunication buildings, they're pretty much everywhere, but they're the reason for our phones and internet and everything to work, so.
That's wild, man. What a weird ass upbringing. He comes back into your life as like the enforcer, like 6 years later.
Yo, that's just crazy, bro. Like, I remember one time, I don't even talk about this shit, but like, you know what it was? Like, so he would treat me like an adult, dude. So, like, imagine like being 14, 15, and then I have a big family. So I got cousins and everybody's like knows. Like, so then it became like my dad, and I was like his sidekick for like a couple years. Like when he came back, like when I'm now I'm like 15, 16, I'm like his sidekick. Like, yo, go get me a six pack.
Classic
Yo, go,
sidekick.
yo,
Robin
go
was
get,
always doing that.
you know what I mean? Yo, go get me a few, give me a pack of blunts. Yo, roll this blunt for me. And
Okay.
like, yo, me and my dad would be like smoking weed and shit. And just like, it would just be like this young kid with these grown ass men. Like, I had no business being
Yeah,
with
of
like
course.
grown men with families. And I'm just sitting there trying to like hang out and shit. Like, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, this is normal.
But so I think that like kind of like back to what I was saying earlier about like when you get older and you start like looking back and you kind of like, man, I like this is what not really what a man's supposed to be doing. So that shit, I used to think about that, like, damn, like I'm not, even though my nephews are adults now, I wouldn't feel comfortable hanging out and, like maybe a drink here and there, but I'm
Yeah.
not smoking a
They
fucking fat blunt.
can find that
Like,
on their own, you know, they're going to. You don't
yeah,
need to
with
be
their
like,
own
hey,
friends.
that's wild. Did you
Terrible parenting, terrible parents.
what was
Yeah,
his parents like? Did you ever meet
yeah,
yeah.
yeah, yeah. They, well, my grandmother was the best. His mom's was the best. She's like, you know, Christian, Catholic woman, you know, just holding it down, ride or die.
Were they
You know,
back
my
in Guyana or they came here too?
no, they came here too.
Okay, nice.
But you know, and then it's that thing of like his dad probably treated him way worse than he treated me. You know what I
Yeah, of
mean? Like
course.
my
Yeah.
grandfather was like, he was a fucking, he worked for like the police department in Guyana. So you already know what type of crooked shit they was probably doing. My
Right.
man had like 20 kids. Like, you know, I remember his at his funeral, there were like people that looked like him. And I'm like, who the fuck is this person? I'm like, oh, it's his other
Oh,
kid he had.
just spreading seeds all over the place, huh?
But yeah, they were cool. But like, yeah, I think my granddad was more of a, he was probably even more of a savage than my dad was.
So you got like a bunch of uncles and aunts then, if he had so many kids,
Yeah,
or
I got on my dad's side, 12. They had 13 and one died.
oh wow, that's wild.
Like six boys and six girls.
All right.
I got like 50 something cousins.
Yeah, that's wild.
80s. I got like 80 something.
It's a big reunion.
Yeah, like 80 something, whatever, second cousins or whatever.
You're probably meeting people at the funeral type stuff.
Yeah.
Huh.
Even like the ones I know, it's like, oh, you have five kids? That's crazy. I didn't ever met this kid. This kid's like an adult
Right.
now.
That's wild. All right, let's fast forward a bit. So he died kind of recently, maybe. Sorry, part of
Yeah,
this.
he died in 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, he died in 2021. He had like
And
a, I don't even know what happened. I think some like a fucking vessel bursted in his brain or some shit like that.
oh, so
Yeah.
there's no warning.
Nah.
Okay, shit. That's tough. It sounds like you have a different relationship than the other people I interview, but usually I ask people, did he ever see you do stand up? Did he care about that type of shit?
That's the, so that the thing is, like, it's so funny. After he died, my sister, who was super like close with him, told me like, yo, he was a huge fan. He was always like bigging you up, shouting you out, proud of you, this and this and that. But I never knew it. Like, I never
But he
felt
never
it.
vocalized that to you. He's
Nah,
just in
hell
YouTube
no.
comments.
Yo, dude, that's like what the reason we were estranged. Like, I used to try to make it work because I didn't like, even as a child, I didn't ever feel like I didn't have anything against my dad. Like, we were cool. Like, he just wasn't around. And yeah, I had the animosity, but when you become older and you smoke enough weed with with your dad, you're like, all right, we boys, you know what I'm saying? But then
Right.
as I got older and I started making money and like on the legal side and just like making moves, I would give him money. Like, I would, yo, want a ticket, buy you a plane ticket somewhere, or like do some shit like that. And I think once I like fell on hard times, and that's what kind of when I started doing comedy, I kind of almost became a kid again. Like, damn, you know, like I get all this love from strangers, and I'm like, fuck, I just want my, like, my mom is like the super comedy mom, or she was like the super comedy mom, like just come to the show, or like, you know what I mean, just
Sure.
positive vibes. And then my dad was like, I remember when I started doing comedy, because he wasn't, he went back to Guyana and then he moved back to New York, and I took him out to eat like a diner or something to catch up. And like, I was so excited to like tell him about comedy, like, yo, I'm doing this. Yo, I got it, yo. And like, yo, I swear we sat there for like a couple of hours and not one time was he like, so what you been up to? He's just like telling me about his life and what he's doing. And I'm like the whole time, like, dude, I don't give a fuck about any of this shit, dog.
Right.
Like, he's talking about other people and like shit that has nothing to do with me. I'm like, dude, what about me, bro? You know what I'm saying?
Pat me on the shoulder one time.
So that part, like that, I remember that vividly. Like that was the last time that I was like, not that we weren't cool, but I wasn't like checking for him. I wouldn't even answer his calls. I'm like, what the fuck you calling me for, dude?
So when was this? Like 5 years ago or something? Or a couple years back?
Yeah, like five.
And then it's five, just like, sort of like, you know, 6 years. You guys don't need to keep up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Is your mom still around? I'm sorry, I didn't even ask.
Nah, so boom. So my dad died. I mean, yeah, she is. But so my dad died. And then after we buried him, like maybe like a week or two later, my mom, so she has dementia now, but like when it first started, like Alzheimer's dementia or whatever, she like started hallucinating, dude. She lost her mind. So like it was like that shit. Like my dad was one thing. But then,
was
like,
right around the same time,
like,
too.
It was like a couple weeks after we buried my dad. Jeez. My mom loses that's her mind.
Yeah.
Bro, my mom loses her mind. And I'm a mama's boy. So that's the thing. Like, my dad, it was like sad. It was more sad because I just, you know, I'm an empath. I see my sisters, my family, everybody's distraught. I had to do a GoFundMe to pay for his fucking funeral. And just like, you know what I mean? It was like, damn, like, all right, I'm kind of sad because of that. But then when my mom got it, it was like, that felt worse than losing my dad. I felt like I lost my mom. You know what I mean? Well, I did lose my mom. I lost the version that I've known my whole life. So yeah, now it's like a new version of my mom.
Dementia sounds like one of the toughest things you could watch someone go through. So that's hard.
Dude, it's one of those things like I've had, I forget who, I was with a homie the other day who lost their mom. Oh, my boy. I was with my boy. He lost his mom. And sometimes I think, like, would it have been easier
if she had just passed? Like,
yeah. Then yeah, so like that's like we're best friends, and then like you're like not you anymore. Then it's like, yo, he's gotta fucking, all right, I guess, you know, I'm gonna be a homie forever, but I'm just saying, like, it's gonna be like, fuck, dude, this shit is tough, dude.
Yeah,
but yeah, that shit fucked me up for a minute, bro. I had to go to therapy. I started going to therapy.
And especially the timing of that, like, I know your old man probably didn't mean as much to you, but losing your mom, or not, you know, quote unquote, losing your mom's personality type, that's rough, man. And I don't really know about that type of treatment. Is she,
scientists haven't figured out the brain yet. It's so funny. I was watching Planet of the Apes yesterday just to like refresh because there's a new one coming out in a few months.
Sure, catch up on all the old tropes. So, make sure you don't miss any Easter eggs.
I didn't even realize that, yo, the reason that like they were looking for like Alzheimer's medication because the scientist's dad had Alzheimer's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I was just like watching that shit. I'm like, damn, yo, they could have gave my moms a hit of that. Yeah, even though they didn't figure out the formula all the way.
Yeah. That's
A couple good summers are like, oh shit, Cheryl's back.
Yeah, that would be nice. So she doesn't ever have like a moment of lucidity. Does that come around or no?
She does, but it's like it's not, you know.
No,
she's out to lunch a little bit, but she's there. She's like, you know, but you can look at somebody's eyes and they're just kind of like glazy, real, real glassy. Like it's kind of like,
yeah,
you know. And she's a New Yorker, so she's gonna lie every chance she get. Like, yeah, I knew what you meant.
That's awesome.
She like we didn't know she had it. It's like she'd be like asking us the same thing over and over and over.
Right.
I'm like, man, I just told you that. She's like, I know, I was just trying to see if you tell me the truth.
Okay. So wait, how did it get diagnosed? You know, is that like an intervention type thing where you're like, hey.
Well, there were probably signs that we didn't see forever. Well, not forever, but like for a while. And whatever. But then like when I think my dad's death had something to do with that. Like the pandemic and my dad's death. Because it was like towards, still going through that time. And yeah, I don't know. My mom, damn, I'm sorry, I got lost a little bit.
No, you're good. That It's kind of fitting for talking about dementia.
Oh, no, she went up to she just started, like, imagine, like, she's just chilling, and then she would, like, start hearing things, seeing things, thinking things were happening, like, thinking I was trying to kill her, thinking, like, imagine one day you're chilling, and then, like, the next day she's, like, yo, telling people that I'm trying to cut her legs, or, like, this is crazy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so that's how we knew. That's how we knew. We were like, yo, that looks like something's wrong here.
Yeah. Wild. So she's in like a treatment place or something. Is she able to be by herself?
No, she's with my sister took care of her. Is taking care of her. Well, but no, so but like with that, it kind of went in reverse somehow. Like, so that was the beginning, and then she kind of like leveled out. Even though she'll still like hear things or think things are happening, it's not like, yo, they're trying to kill me anymore.
That sounds, you know, scary. I mean? Like, honestly.
Yo, dude.
On your end.
You dude, know what I mean? That shit was like a horror movie. Like, so I live with my mom. So imagine, like,
right,
waking up in the middle of the night or some shit or like whatever. And then like opening the door and just seeing like a woman in her nightgown just standing in the middle of the fucking shit. It's like, who the fuck are you possessed by? Or like looking, like standing by the door, looking out the peephole, like they're trying to get us.
Yeah, that's
like, you know, that's crazy.
That's wild.
And I'm going to try to do comedy.
Ain't that the craziest part about this shit? Like, you know, when you're just like, oh yeah, I gotta go tell fucking jokes tonight. I remember my dad had a fucking emergency stoma. You know, he had cancer, but then I got a call one day. They're like, hey, by the way, they're just going to have to fucking do a tracheotomy, like put a trach thing in today. And I was like, all right, well, I have to go to work. And then I'm probably going to go home, you know, do a show. I'll shove that down, deal with that in a couple months. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's natural too. Did you do any jokes about your dad after he died?
You're so crazy because I had a last minute weekend at the Bridgeport Stress Factory, and I was like, am I gonna do it? I'm not gonna do it. I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it, yo. I took care of the funeral. I did everything I had to do. Like, I gotta do this. And like, yo, I wrote, like, literally as things are happening, as I'm going through this shit, I'm like writing. I'm not even thinking about when I'm gonna get up or what's going on or when I'm gonna say this stuff. So I'm like writing it. That's how I write jokes anyway. Like, I just, like, as I see something, I just, it's like noted, and then it's like the play comes together in my head, or like different parts of the joke or the chunks or whatever. Like, anyway, so then I go to this club, I do my, like, my regular set, and then for some reason, like, that was like my closer. When I would get the light, I would just do this whole funeral shit about, like, dude not having the will, hood ass dad. Fucking, there should be a how-to on funerals on YouTube, and just kind of like, yo, what to wear. The funeral director was trash. The fucking, like, yeah. And then, like, I did a whole thing.
You, like, really processed a lot of that shit. It wasn't just like, my dad died. This was like a chunk.
No, this was step by step. This was, yeah. But it was literally like sitting there, because everything's happening, because I'm not that attached. I'm attached, but I'm not that attached.
Right, I get it.
And then the other part about, like, me, I'm like used to loss, dude. This is like this weird thing I was talking to my fucking therapist about. Like, I've been used to loss since I was a kid. Like losing, not just losing people, losing fucking competitions, just losing. Whatever has to do with losing, I'm like a master of it, to where it's like, whatever. And like, when it does hurt, it hurts like fuck. You know what I mean? Like, my mom, a girlfriend I broke up with a few years ago, that shit hurt like fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was like, it was one of those. So I was like standing there, or like kind of like outside of the situation, but in it, and like just like detailing everything, like, because everything stunk to me almost. So it's like, no will. All right, that's funny. No this. That's funny. And then it was also like chronologically happening. So it wasn't even like, how do I put this together? It's like, all I gotta do is talk about each part of this bullshit.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like I talk about buying the fucking casket and like ordering the casket, like a menu, and like the fucking the prices. It's like from high to low. Sure, and my sisters are like, yo, which one should we get? And I'm like, bitch, he's dead. Get the cheapest shit. What the fuck do you mean? Like,
yeah, we're not gonna be looking at it after it's in the ground.
And then they get the fucking most expensive one. And oh, and then I go to, I have this whole shit, dude, about like even going back a year later in January to the gravesite to see the headstone. Cause you know, they don't put the headstone on right away on the plot. And so going back and being unimpressed with the fucking headstone and like, man, they should at least put a picture of the casket on the fucking top of this shit so they would have known like he's doing good downstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
Maybe a little
like,
receipt that says the family paid this much.
Don't judge him by the fucking headstone. You know? Yeah, don't judge how much we cared about him.
All the pizzazz is 6 feet under.
Right. The fucking the shellac is downstairs.
Right. Yeah. That's a lot, man. That's crazy. So, well, first of all, that's awesome that you wrote that into a joke. Was that just for that weekend or did that later become part of your act? Like that whole chunk?
Yo, you know, it's crazy. I did it like recently in Harlem, but it's hard, you know, like doing a 10-minute set, whatever. I've done it like when I've like done like hours or 30s. Yeah. Or like if I'm doing like a weekend, I definitely do it, you know.
Sure.
And then I'll kind of weave in my mom's stuff in there too, like just dealing with somebody with dementia.
So your stuff's getting a little more personal.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Yeah, it's good. And yeah, throwing that at the end, that's a good place. That's kind of where you have to put that material. You can't really.
Nah. Well, I did one show kind of like based around my mom and my dad. So his was first, actually. And then my mom was stuff was last.
Okay. That's
But people have to be there for you to even lay shit out like that. Like it's hard to be in a room full of strangers and like. Also, real quick, the best part about the Bridgeport weekend was this after one of the shows, these three women came up to me and like they were like, yo, we came here because my sister just or our friend just lost somebody close. And they were like, yo, that shit's like. Was so good and it made her want to cry. Like it was just like so much like she connected to it. Like, damn, he broke down on the whole process of the shit and like not knowing what the fuck this is, you know? So.
Yeah, that's, I mean, good on you for that. And making it funny. That's like the peak for me. If you can take like a vulnerable experience and someone else goes, oh shit, I can relate to that super hard and I'm laughing and you know, the casket hasn't even dropped yet. That's a good way to do it. But also, I feel like I like how you described it. It's not like you were like, all right, well, I'm going to write some material about this. It was like, oh, this is happening. And this is what my next going to be about.
Like, it's the sad part, too. Like, this is what made me go to therapy, right? Not what we're talking about. But like, that's usually how my brain always works. And then like, when I lost the version of my mom that I love so much. That part of my brain stopped working, bro. Like I couldn't nothing was funny anymore. Like I couldn't like, yo, that's when I knew like I needed help. I'm like, yo, my whole life I've always dealt with whatever the fuck is it. It's like I have a filter in my mind that's like makes everything okay. Like we're gonna make fun of everything. You know what I mean? Like I can make fun of everything. Like it doesn't matter. Like whatever it is, I can make fun of it. And then like when my or not even make fun of it, but just have an angle on it. That I think people might be entertained by, like, oh man, I could see that. You know what I mean? So then, like, with my mom, it was like, fuck, I need some help, dude. I was like in the crib for weeks, just vegetating, looking at my feet, literally. Like, I remember that was the day that I was like, yo, I need help. I was like in the crib one day and I was like sitting in my computer chair, just looking at my feet, dog. Like, what the fuck? I was like, yo, I need some help, yo.
Well, that's a different type of pain because that's ongoing. That's not like, oh, she's gone. It's like, oh, she's not gone. And we're both still here type stuff.
Yo, you know what the therapist told me, though? It was so crazy. Like, the therapist fixed me in, like two sessions, bro.
Wow.
I swear. Like, at least for now.
I won't be seeing you next week. I'm good.
No, I'm not even going to say, like, fixed me. Like, yo, everything's... But, like, she got me through that point. Like, she got me through that ceiling of pain. I'm like,
two sessions, huh? 2 weeks?
Dude, she listened to me. She let me talk. And then she was like... She was like, you know what you need to do. I think this will help you. She was like, you need to learn how to let go of what's lost and appreciate what's left. You need to learn how to do that. And that shit, it made me be like, damn, like, yo, that's why I'm so fucked up. Cause I'm trying to hold on to the old mom. You know what I mean? Like I can't even see this new mom. You know what I mean? Like I see her, but like I'm still grieving over the old shit that I can't change, that nobody can change. You know what I mean? So like, I've taken that and used that like in just different facets of my whole life. Like that whole, just appreciate what you got and like, let me let go of what's lost and appreciate what you have. You know what I mean?
Or what's left. I mean, easier said than done, but shout out to your therapist for getting through that and that quickly too.
I mean, shout out to me for being fucking smart like that. You know what I'm saying? It's a fucking process that information. I mean,
sounds like you've been doing the work for a long time, but like now it's like, that's a lot to unpack.
But it's hard to talk. Like, you know what it's like. You know how like you go through some grieving shit. You know, oh, this is another, I forget about this part of the joke about my dad's shit. I'm like, yo, the worst part about like losing someone is when people you don't fuck with be like, hey, if you ever need to talk. It's like, dude, why would I fucking unload on you, bitch? Like,
right.
I fucking don't like you. What do you want, my weak points? Like, what do you want to hear? What do you want to hear? I got molested as a kid or some shit? Like, what the fuck do you want to hear about my pain for? Like, yeah. Yo, if you ever need a shoulder, why would I cry on your fucking shoulder, dude?
Right. Give I don't me like 10 you. Bucks, bro. Yeah. We don't have that kind of relationship, but if you want to help me out.
The worst, that's not the worst. Like, you're going through some shit, and like, maybe you got one homie that you're down with venting, and you know he's not going to guilt trip you for it. Like, sure. What the fuck? And then some motherfucker comes out of left field, like, yo, Mike, listen, like, if you ever just need to vent, dog, let me know.
I'm like, bro, before my dad died, I was venting about you to other people. Right? You are the you are the stress.
Yeah. Yo, that shit's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that is funny. Or when people like try to give you like they try to say something of consolation, you're like, what? You know?
Yo, that's the other shit too. Like, it turned me into a fucking like between my dad dying and my mom getting sick, dude, I just became a different person, bro. Like, I was not a nice guy. Like, I was like, I felt like I was so strong for so long. That shit broke me, bro. Like, I couldn't be strong anymore. Like, I was like super strong. Like, I was able to just deal with all kind of bullshit. Didn't matter. Nothing mattered. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna do comedy. I don't give a fuck if I'm broke. I don't care if people treat me like shit. I don't care. Like, I'm gonna fucking do what I gotta do. I'm gonna do what I wanna do. And then when that shit happened, it was like, what the fuck? Everybody's an enemy. People like having a good time would upset me. Like, why are you fucking happy for? You piece of shit.
Don't you know the world's over?
Like, fuck are you laughing about? You laughing at me?
And then you're on stage having these thoughts in your head.
Yo, I've had those times.
Oh, right. I'm in my closer. Right. That's why you're laughing.
Bro, I've had those times like at comedy clubs. And like I feel like I've alienated. I'm in good standing now, but like I feel like I alienated myself from a lot of fucking my friends. And just like my perspective changed. Like, what the fuck is any of this shit? Fuck is this shit for? Who is it for? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is this shit? Who's, you know what I mean? He's fucking like, get the fuck out of here, dude. That's like, even I remember I saw you one time at the Queens Brewery. I didn't see you in a long time.
Oh, sure.
And bro, you were so fucking funny, dog.
Oh, thanks, man.
And it was like one of those, I mean, you are funny, but I'm just saying, like, I hadn't seen you in so long and you were so fucking funny. And it was just like, I was just like, it's one of those things like, man, fuck everything but this.
Because
this
funny.
Is the part, yeah. Because it's like, it's not even about the fucking yo, this or that or this. It's like, yo, when I show up, I'm gonna be funny.
Yeah,
everything else is bullshit. Like, yo, I don't give a fuck who you know or what's going on or any of that shit. Like, it's like, dude, let's just be funny. Hopefully, we're funny. Hopefully, we're hilarious. Hopefully, you know, that's what it's about. So, like, that shit made me look at it, like, look at the whole pageantry and the.
Right.
The fluffery of it all. And it was like, yo, fuck this shit.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And I fucking love seeing you. You're always, you know, you got a different kind of comedy, man. I don't think a lot of people are doing what you're doing.
Thank you, bro. That's good, man.
You ever feel about like you want to put this grief stuff like on record, like put it on a special or something?
Well, doing the one man show has helped me. Like, I was like writing some shit this morning because now I like write differently almost. Like, I do the, like, all right, these are the jokes, and then I'll just do the right, like, I don't care if it's funny shit, and then we'll make it funny, maybe. So, like, I really like the the three-act structure, and with my dad's stuff, I almost feel like I could do a whole fucking hour just on him, you know what I mean? Like, from the beginning to the end, like, childhood to just him dying.
Yeah.
and like how it affected me and shit like that. But I definitely want to do that, man, for sure. Because even just like the set, it's like putting, even doing it at the end of a set is like, all right, this had nothing to do with the other 75%, 80% of your set, bro. Like, this was just for you. It's funny. But.
Right. Yeah. I kind of want to be like, man, if I'm going to make this, this should be the whole show. But then I'm like, I don't know if I have a half hour or 40 minutes about this, but this 10 minutes is really like, you know, to me.
Well, yeah, that's kind of like what Ben Wasserman has, something like that. He does.
Live After Death.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Twice,
pretty
actually.
Good. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. I had him on one of my first guests. Maybe like a year and a half ago, but he's great. You've seen the show?
Yeah.
Super inventive.
Mm-hmm.
Those listening at home, Ben Wasserman, he has it in a funeral home. Okay. He has a show. It's extremely inventive and it's really interactive. And the first time I went there, I was like, and it totally makes sense, but almost the entire audience was comprised of people with grief, which totally makes sense. But, you know, he does interactive stuff. He's like, hey, who's here is thinking about someone right now? And it was like, it was almost like me, and like, oh, you know, my cousin, my sister, da, 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 da. And I was like, oh shit, people are attracted to this because people fucking want to talk about it. And
and you don't want to feel guilty, because that's the part, like, even the part about going to therapy is like, when you get tired of feeling guilty about talking about what you want to talk about, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know how many times I went out and at the end of a conversation, that's also what led me to therapy. At the end of the conversations, people are like, so are you seeing a therapist? Are you seeing anyone right now? I was like, nah, yo, I don't fuck with that shit. Nah, I never thought. But it's just like enough people being like, bro, you should see, like, because I was being super honest and transparent at that time. I was like, people like, how are things going? I'm like, terrible.
Right.
Like, yeah, I would show up to no filter. Like, this is like, bro, you know me. Like, dude, I'm like the life of the party kind of guy. Like, I'm like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Imagine. And then one day it's like, shit's bad, man.
Sure. Blue, I mean, skies. Overnight, like, it sounds like.
Gray skies, man. It's all gray skies. I like, dude, I didn't talk to my friends, man. Like, people were worried about me fucking reaching out to me and shit. And I didn't like, dude, that shit was bad, man.
So that was like 2 years ago. No, yeah. I guess 2.5, 2021.
But, yeah, 2021. March 21.
Seems like you're in a lot better place now.
Well, what helped a lot now is my mom, my sister taking, because I was like part-time caregiving for like a year. So like, or a couple years since 2022, 2023.
That takes an emotional toll too.
It's different. Like, I didn't even realize I wasn't present for so many years. Like, I was just showing up. Like, I was like giving them 50%, 30%, 40%, 75%. Like, I was never 100% there, like, yo. So you can't enjoy shit if you're not present. You can't really, you can enjoy it, but you're not gonna really deeply feel it, and like, you know what I mean, you're like thinking about some other shit.
Yeah, of course. It's like you know, it's like there's like a light that's not on in your head. You're still there, but it's like, oh, it's a little bit dimmer here.
Yeah.
Fuck, man, I think I need to get a therapist. You're really giving a good testimonial.
I mean, I haven't been in a while, so I wouldn't say, like, I'm not one of those people like, everybody needs therapy. I mean, it's cool if you can afford it. It's cool if you want to try it out. But if it's not for you and you feel like it's not for you, it's not for you, man. I'm not here. That's the shit I hate when people say, everyone needs. You don't fucking know what everyone needs, dude.
That's true.
Everybody fucking doesn't need everything that you need.
That's true. But I want to get into therapy. I just, man, I have like the shittiest healthcare because it's through the city of New York, because I make like fucking three figures a year.
Uh-huh.
So they just assigned me this woman, and I was just like, you know, I went to her for like 6 weeks. We never learned each other's name. Like, literally every day, every time I come in, she'd look at a sheet of paper and go, Walsh. I'm like, yeah, what's up? It felt very much like, my teeth cleaned.
So you didn't, like, my therapist was recommended through a friend.
See, that's what I'm trying to do. But honestly, like,
but it was expensive. I had the money at the time, but like now.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of broke, but I think I'm willing to prioritize that. But also, like, on what you're saying, it's not really that easy to talk about. Like, I probably do need to get like a referral from someone. But I don't want to be the person like posting on like.
No, or they do like the fucking, I think it's like you could do the. What they call it, like the screening or whatever, because that's what I did. I did like a
stuff,
yeah, one session, which was like 20 minutes just to see if I fucking like this person,
right?
And then
because obviously if you're not, and I probably have some weird criteria that I haven't even thought about of who I
prefer
a therapist.
I don't know why I prefer a woman, And like preferably a black woman too.
Sure.
Because it just feels like, okay, she kind of gets a little bit of what I'm going, even though I'm not, what I'm, where I'm coming from, as opposed to like a white woman or a white dude.
No,
or
absolutely.
Or and anybody, like, you know. Because I was going there for my mom. So I was like, let me talk to, another
avatar of your
woman.
Mom.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I gotta, I'll figure it out. But yeah, it's you know.
It's touchy. Touchy shit to talk about, dude.
Yeah, and probably especially if, you know, for a guy from the Bronx, I don't know. Like, it's probably not.
I got jokes about that shit, like, on the therapy. Like, yo, dude, I felt like I was snitched on myself for 45 minutes to a fucking stranger, dude. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, yo, you sure you can't tell nobody about this shit? Yeah.
If you violate HIPPO, I'm going to jail.
I'm like, I'm weak. You know what I mean? I'm like, bitch, I'm weak. Sad.
That's cool, man. But if you can couch it in jokes while still like being like delivering a message, I mean, that's the best shit that, you know.
Well, that's the, yo, dude, I don't know. I feel like even I think in comedy, it's like, that's fun. Like trying to, cause that's what podcasts are almost, or some podcasts where it's like, you just have something you want to talk about. Your podcast is about grief. And it's not even necessarily like this is going to be the most hilarious podcast of all time. But it's like, okay, this is creating a space for me to talk about this shit and possibly make it funny or be entertaining or informative or something. You know what I mean?
For sure, man. And now that I've done this and it's cool, I'm flattered. But I get people that don't even do stand up. They're like, hey, I got all this shit I want to tell you about. And I'm like, I appreciate that, but I'm not actually qualified in any way. I'm just trying to sort of get through some trauma of my own with my buddies. But it is nice that people are like, oh, cool. Like, I got some dead people I want to talk about if you want to, you know. I'm like, all right, well. This is,
yo, that's the worst shit, too. Somebody, like, you lose your dad. So it was like, yo, I lost my dad like 5-10 years ago. It's like, yo, this is a rookie death, bro. Like, your dad's
comparing scars. I'm still bleeding.
Right. Your dad's in the Hall of Fame right now. Yo, my dad just fucking entered the league of death. You know what I'm saying? Like, come
hang
on,
his
man.
Fucking jersey from the the grief rafters. But I mean, it is like that. But
you know Norrie Davis?
We don't know each other personally, but like through comedy,
So his mom passed recently. And I just saw him doing the set the other night, and he was doing the set about his mom and death, and that shit was like, it was so good to see.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, you know, granted the fucking, you know, anybody died, but like after we like hung out actually after, and we talked and we just chilled for a minute, but it was kind of like that bonding, but also like to see someone else's perspective. That's the coolest part. Like, I never understood, like, people be like, yo, he was talking about what I was talking about. It's like, dude, you have your own, we're all individuals. So like, I don't give a fuck if we all have a joke about death or love or whatever the fuck. It's like, it's human.
Plenty of room in the funeral.
You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? But, his shit was good as fuck the other night, man. And I was all like, right.
And you know what's funny is how I booked this. I'm already mentally making a note that I'm like, maybe 6 months from now, I'll slide in. So be like, because, you know, that's kind of how I figured. I think you posted something about your pops a while back, or maybe not. Maybe I heard you tell a joke about it. And I was just like, oh, shit. Mental note.
Who hit him like, up?
Because it's hard. I will. Part of me is like, how long should I wait? I don't want to feel like I'm chasing after a hearse to get content.
I mean, yo, he's doing the show. He just started doing the show about his mom. I think it's called Element. So it's like part stand up. It's excerpts from his one man show that he's working on about I think it's, I don't know for sure, but I think it's about his mom.
I'll definitely hit him up.
So he could plug the show on the pod. You know what I mean?
I mean, it sounds like you're
catch me at Union Hall next weekend. You know?
So we're plugging Norrie Davis, Ben Wasserman. Anybody else's work that we have to plug?
Ortiz Funeral Home.
Ah, nice. Yeah, they do good work. Well, that's cool, man. Cause like, it is kind of like when people put it out there, it just broadens my network and their network and people who are part of this shit. And it's kind of like, you really don't realize you're part of this. It's a cliche, but you don't realize you're part of this big family until you're like, oh, cool. We're the family of, you know, dead parent, dead whoever's. And you're like, oh, cool. This isn't that bad. Actually, there's other people in this club. All right. It's happening.
Dude,
before.
I was literally, so I had to handle some shit for my mom a little while ago. Before I hopped on a pod. And I was thinking about another homie who's like, I think he lost his mom at a young age, bro. Or she was young. And I'm like, I was just randomly thinking about him, like, that's fucking weird, dude. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, losing, like, or not even like being parentless, being motherless, being fatherless. You know what I mean? At a, like, we're a little older, so it's not as crazy as like if we were like little kids.
Right.
But still, you hear about somebody that lost their parent, it's like, fuck, it's different.
Oh yeah. And I was interviewing like Eve Ellenbogen a couple of months ago, but her mom died when she was like 7 or something. And she said she goes to like dead mom grief support groups, but it's like some people that are like, my mom died 6 months ago and I'm 65 years old. And she's like, well, my mom died 30 years ago and I'm 37. You know what I mean? It's a whole different type of thing. But yeah, it's
Great way to
inevitable.
bond, man. Great way to bond. Dead dads,
It is. Yeah. I mean,
dead
like
moms.
you and me, this is the longest conversation we've had, and you know, we'll probably never speak again. No, I'm
Nah, this,
kidding.
you know, it's crazy. Like, this is what I prefer. Like, so that's why, like, even now as I get older, I see myself like becoming a little less like outward or whatever. 'Cause like, I don't really like the chit chat, small talk shit. Like, I like to fucking know about people. I like to know like what the fuck is up with you. Like, how do you really feel? Like, how, like, I'd rather talk about the world as we feel it. You know what I mean? As opposed to like some shit Joe Rogan's talking about. Like, I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, that shit doesn't, that's not my ecosystem.
Right.
My ecosystem isn't neurotropic brain food. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
How about like the actual experience that we're having, you know?
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, I'm saying, we want to talk about aliens, we could talk about aliens,
Yeah,
but I
you can
don't.
save that for the final 5 minutes of the show. It takes a
Okay,
real
cool.
hard right turn at the end.
Yeah, you know, that's why we got Wi-Fi. They say that's aliens.
I saw that. I saw that in the news. I saw that on the internet and I didn't even click on it. I said, all right, well, shout out to the
On,
aliens
man.
for giving us Wi-Fi,
All
facilitating
right,
this Zoom thing.
they know what's up.
Yeah.
They know what's up before anybody know what's up.
Yeah, man. All right. I think I fucking extracted enough from you to make this into an episode, man.
Oh yeah, we
I
got mad sound bites, clips,
Yeah, for real. Reels.
vibes, reels, TikToks.
Pretty good. Pretty good too. This might be one take, no edit. You know, there might be a couple uhs and ums I take out later on, but it seems like it'll be a light
Nah, it's
touch.
going, this one right here gonna be get the most hits, man. I'm telling
I appreciate you coming
you.
on. I really do. Do you got anything you don't want to plug in the future?
No,
You
not
got, you
really.
doing
I
your
don't
show
have
again?
anything in the books. Nah, well, I am, but I don't have it in the books. So, you know, when I do do it, just follow me on the gram, social media,
What are you
PD's
at?
jokes.
What's your handle?
At PD's jokes, or just Google PD Diabrew, it'll pop up.
I appreciate it.
Might
Yeah.
go throw my shit in the description, you know, the vibes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
We're smart.
You guys made it this far. You can probably make it further.
Thanks, bro.
PD, I really appreciate it, man. Like that was it was good. I
Thank
enjoyed
you
that
for the
conversation.
free therapy session, bro.
Hey, yeah,
Appreciate
no,
that
I'll
shit.
send you an invoice, a little Venmo.
Oh, fuck.
I'll do a sliding scale. Send me your
All right,
taxes.
I'll give you $20.
Yeah.
I'll buy you a couple beers.
For sure. Well, I hope I'll see you sooner than later, man. But thank you. I appreciate you coming on here.
Of course, bro. Thank you,
Yep.
man. Appreciate it. Take care.
Course. Be well. So that's gonna do it for episode 33. I wanna say a big thank you to PD for sharing his story, PD Diabrew. Be sure to follow him on social media. It's PD's jokes, PDEEZ jokes. And, you know, look out for his shows in the future. Hopefully, he'll be doing his show before comedy, after crime again in the future. I'd like to see that. And to everybody at home listening, you know, thanks for listening. Keep doing that. If you want to like and subscribe and leave a review, I wouldn't tell you not to. And one last thing, if you want to watch the video of my interview with Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's daughter, that is on my YouTube channel. So if you want to search YouTube, Kelly Carlin, Michael Walsh, or I'll Grieve You With This Podcast, or my username on YouTube, which is Micah D. Walsh, you can probably find it. And if you do all those things and you don't find it, well, I guess you just weren't meant to see it.
ultimately, this is an audio medium. And if you want to listen to that podcast, that's episode 29. That's going to do it for this week. Be good to yourselves. Till next time. Goodbye.